Welcome to the Water Podcast, Episode 8, recorded October 6th, 2008. Water is a tool for testing web applications. You can find more about water in Episode 1. My name is Željko Filipi. With me today from Down Under is Alistair Scott, Water Wikimaster. After the recording, I noticed that audio quality is not so good in some parts because my microphone was cutting out and my neighbors were drilling. My apologies.
Hi, Alistair.
Hi, Zelko.
Is it polite to say Down Under for Australia?
Yeah, that's very polite. You say g'day as well, so you say g'day from Down Under.
Oh. I heard it somewhere on the podcast, I guess. I'm never sure how your phrases, which are polite and which are, it's perfectly polite in Croatian when you translate.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, perfectly polite. Yeah,
but you never know.
Yeah. That's polite.
Okay, before we start, do you have anything to say to the community, to the listeners of the podcast?
Well, I thought I'd just introduce myself. My name's Alistair Scott, as you said. I live in Brisbane in Australia, as you said, Down Under. I work in software, and I've been doing automated testing for about 6 years or so, and I've been using water for about 2.5 years.
Oh, a lot of time. Get into computers.
Well, I sort of got into computers when I was at high school, when I sort of saw what they could do, and I was very interested in them. And from high school, I decided to go and study computer science at uni. So I did software engineering at uni, and then from there, I sort of got a job in software, and I've sort of been interested ever since. So that's sort of the background.
Do you remember the first computer you got?
I probably used a lot of computers at school before I actually had my own at home. I didn't come from a very rich household, and we had four children. So yeah, we didn't have a computer at home for quite some time. So the first computer I had, I think it was a 286 or a 386 or something like that, and I can't remember how much RAM, but I've probably got, you know, I've definitely got more storage on my iPod than I had back then, so yeah.
You absolutely got more storage on anything now.
yeah, probably on my mobile phone.
Yeah, probably more processor power and
more processor power and more RAM.
Yeah,
so
yeah. More everything. How did you get into automation, water, Ruby?
Okay, well, when I finished uni, I moved down to a place in Australia called Canberra, which is where our parliament and all our federal government departments are. And when I moved down there, I was looking for a job, just finished uni, and I actually went and got a job doing testing. And there was a lot of testing jobs, and I thought, I'll give this a try and see how it goes. And I really started to enjoy it and started to really like it, but I did have a fairly technical skill set, so I didn't want to do straight out testing as such. So I saw that there was automated testing. I thought it was the best of both worlds because it sort of had a business sort of view on things, but you also got to do a bit of coding. So I sort of got involved in automated testing there.
And that's how you started with Ruby and water?
How I started with Ruby and water, when I was talking about doing automated testing, I worked in very big government departments in Australia, and they were all used commercial tools, so sort of the Rational and the Mercury tool sets. And when I decided to not live in Canberra anymore and move north where it's warm, I took on a contracting job and I took on a job where I walked into a project that had no testing tools and no budget. And luckily they were developing a internally developed sort of web application, a financial management system, and I quickly sort of discovered water just by using the web and doing a, you know, talking to different people, and that's sort of how I first found it and how I implemented it there. So,
and the rest is history.
The rest is history, yeah, as I say, yeah. So
that recording, we were talking about how hot it is at where you live, and I always forget it's everything is opposite down there. You say now it's spring there, and you said I moved north where it's warmer, but it's when you
it's all opposite down here under the the equator. So basically, yeah, we move north and it gets hotter. And I think it's spring at the moment, and it was about 32 degrees Celsius today, so it was quite warm. So it's good.
And you said you've got to uni, that's a university?
I did, yeah. I went to uni when I finished school. I had a year off when I finished school and went travelling around Europe. And then I went to uni and I studied software engineering, so I did an IT degree in software engineering.
I just want to, what's the full name of the university, just called uni?
It's Griffith University. There's quite a lot of universities in Australia, yeah, and it was called Griffith University. It was actually on the Gold Coast, which is a place near Surfers Paradise. It's like a sort of touristy sort of place. I went there to uni, so.
Nice place to go to college. You said you've traveled Europe. Any chance that you visit Croatia?
No, I didn't. I didn't actually. I went when I was 17, when I just finished school by myself or with my girlfriend at the time, who ended up becoming my wife. And we actually just mainly tried to stay in places that spoke English. So because we're so young and so sort of naive, and so, yeah, we spent about 3 or 4 months, and we mainly went around the UK, and we went to Ireland and we went to France, but that was sort of as far as we went.
I've never been there. I've been to France. Oh, Jesus. Have you used other programming languages besides Ruby?
I have a lot. I used Python in one of the jobs I had here in Brisbane. They were a Java shop, and they used a lot of Python, sort of Jython. I'm not sure if you've heard of Jython, but it's like having Java objects and classes in Python. And yeah, so I use Python quite a lot there.
Yeah, I've heard about Jython. Is it Python running on the Java virtual machine?
It is,
There's JRuby a lot of languages.
Yep.
So you've using Jython, anything else?
Yeah, well, when I was at uni, as I said, I did software engineering, so we did a lot of C programming. We also did a lot of Java as our sort of object-oriented sort of language. So I did a lot of, like, Java and C there. And then since I've been working, doing all the sort of, like, automated testing stuff in the commercial tools, I've had to sort of pick up, like, you know, VBScript and that sort of thing. But, yeah, as I said, then Python and also Ruby, which I picked up for the water project.
So you've tried a lot.
I've tried a lot, but the thing is, like, a lot of the sort of ideas and concepts are the same. It's just like syntax and that sort of thing. Like, even Python and Ruby, they're like so similar, but the syntax is sort of a little bit different. Like, Python's got this really crazy indentation thing that's really annoying, and when you're trying to use it across different platforms, it's really annoying. So Ruby's good in that respect, that it doesn't have any of those problems. So.
Yeah, I've heard people that really like Python indentation and really don't like it, so, like, it's a matter of taste.
Yeah, I think the problem that I found with it, I was working with a lot of other people writing Python code at the same time. Some people were using Linux, some people were using Windows, some people were using other operating systems, different IDEs, and the problem was that they weren't all the same, and the problem came up that if the indentation wasn't set correctly, like if you use spaces instead of tabs, and there was all sorts of problems. So yeah, that's the sort of issues that I came across, so I just ended up not really liking the indentation very much. Yeah,
it seems like a problem that would be easy to solve, but if convention, but if you don't do it, it could lead to a lot of problems. Compare some of the languages with Ruby. Do you like Ruby the most, or do you just use it right now?
I probably like it the most, just in terms of the neatness of it, and the sort of object-orientedness the object oriented. I don't know if that's a word, but yeah, how object oriented it is. It's probably more so than Python. I really like the fact that you can run it in interactive mode and you can sort of really get in and play with it. And a lot of, because it's a scripting language rather than a system programming language, that's a really good, the good thing about it. I mean, Python's got that as well. I tend to say for scripting languages, Ruby's my number one choice.
Good. I've played with some languages, but I just know Ruby the best, so I really like it. But I've always wondered how would I feel about Ruby when I tried other languages. But I guess I'll see that someday.
Yeah, I guess you're spoiled in some ways. That, like, if you go and see another language, you might say, oh, this is crap because it's not quite as neat or nice as Ruby. And whereas coming from other languages first, like, you can see about, oh, this is really cool in Ruby because I would have had to do this in the other language. So, yeah, I guess it would be interesting to see if you ever do look at other languages.
So. Yeah, I've played with a lot of them, but I've been using Ruby for years, so I couldn't say that I know that languages. I've just met them. Why do you like testing? Why, you said you've come to testing by almost an accident.
Almost by accident. Yeah, and as I sort of said before, I really like the variety of work and the exposure to different sort of business areas. And because the thing is, all the testing jobs I've had, one of them, my main sort of roles in most of my roles has been to develop a build verification suite. Like, it's the sort of first thing that you sort of set up. And by doing that, you get exposure to a huge, you know, proportion of the system, like a, you know, very sort of broad set of tests across the system that don't go too deep. And just by doing that, you get exposure to a lot of different areas of business. And so you get to really understand how the business works. So I really like that. Compared with a developer, you might have a developer who just works on a single component or a single piece, and they don't really even know about how these other bits of the system work or how other bits of the business work. So I guess I really like it from that respect.
Yeah. Would you talk about applications you've tested in the past and the one you're testing right now?
Yes. At the moment, I work for a really large superannuation company in Australia, and so we have very large superannuation financial systems, and so I test that at the moment. In the past, I've tested sort of, as I mentioned before, I've tested a web-based internal financial and customer relationship management program, sort of a web-based program. I've also tested, I've worked in a mining company, Caterpillar. So for them, I worked on a mining solution, which I talked about using Jython on. I worked there, and I've also worked on a lot of other government departments, so mainly worked on sort of client management systems, some border entry systems, all sorts of platforms, .NET, J2EE, you name it, mainframe, sort of, yeah, so all sorts of different things.
You've been around.
Yeah, I have, yeah.
Applications you've been testing, were, you said one was a web application and others. Did you test desktop applications?
Yeah, I've tested all sorts. I've tested desktop applications that are either written in everything from Power Builder to Java Swing. I've also tested mainframe applications, so sort of like client applications, but they're running on a mainframe, so you just got like a dummy, like a sort of very thin client. And also, as I said, I've tested a lot of web applications, whether they're ones that are internally used, like intranet sort of applications or internet applications. So such as, I worked on a system that did visa processing for Australia. So if you wanted to get a tourist visa to come here, you could log onto the internet and apply. So I tested that application as well.
And the application you're testing right now is a web application, I guess.
At the moment, I'm not actually using Water 100% full time, and The reason being is that we've got, I work for a large superannuation financial company, and we've got a huge amount of different applications that we use to conduct business. So there's sort of 20 plus super applications, and they all have different languages. A lot of them are desktop. We've got some internet web stuff. We've got all these different things, and I can't just use Water to test all these different things and Ruby to test all these different things. So we do use commercial tools at the moment. But saying that, we use Water for testing all our web stuff in terms of writing scripts that do like one-off tasks, doing things like creating test data, monitoring our web applications. So we have a script that monitors our web application availability. So we use it for little things, little sort of quick wins that all add up to be good sort of solutions.
You said I guess I didn't understand the company you're working for. It's a financial company, but I didn't understand the type.
Okay, it's superannuation, which is basically like in Australia, when you go and work for someone, they pay a percentage of your salary, which is about 9%, into a super fund or a superannuation fund, and that saves up. It's like a retirement fund. And then when you reach 60 or 65, you get that money and you can use it to retire. So it's a compulsory thing that all Australian employees have and that all Australian employers have to pay. So I work for a fund that manages those funds. I work for a company that manages those funds.
Yeah, like a pension fund.
I guess it's like a pension fund, yeah. We've got about 500,000 members. So, yeah, so it's quite a big fund. So we've got that many people sort of with money in their accounts.
Yeah. A lot of money to deal with.
Yeah, and a lot of people that want it to be, you know, dealt with correctly and accurately. That's the thing. Yeah. So.
The less bugs, the better. You said you're working in a big company. How big are development and testing teams?
Well, we've got IT staff. We've got about 60, so it's definitely it's big in terms of funds, in terms of workflow and volume. It's small in terms of we don't have a huge amount of people. But saying that, a lot of the systems are sort of like customized systems, so they're not completely developed from scratch. So they're like purchase systems that have been customized, and there's a lot of different components. So we've got about 60 staff. We've got a team of 5 testers, and we've got developers. I think we've got about 20 developers. So yeah. Previously though, I think the biggest place I worked was in Canberra. It was at a federal government department. It had about 600 IT staff. They had about 60 testers. And we had like 10 people just doing full-time test automation. I was the team leader there, and we had about 10 people just doing test automation full-time. So that was pretty big.
Yeah, really lots of people. I work for a small company, and I was always surprised by such big teams. I always wonder what editor or IDE are people using for writing Ruby and Water code.
Yeah, I guess I'm quite embarrassed in a way, because we, like, the sort of code that I've needed to write, I've just basically used the default text editor. I think it's called Skite, is it? S-C-I-T-E? I-T-E? Is that right?
I don't know how it's pronounced.
I don't know how it's pronounced. But, yeah, like, I mean, that's all we've really needed to use. It's one of those things, like, it doesn't have, you know, like, autocomplete or any of that sort of stuff. But, I mean, how quickly you pick up Ruby, I mean, you don't really need that sort of autocomplete stuff anyway. It's pretty easy. And using IRB, you can actually go and write scripts. It's very easy to write scripts in IRB and just paste them into a blank sort of Ruby module, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, IRB is.
What do you use to do?
I use NetBeans. I used to. It's Sun's open source project, now has Ruby support.
Has it got like autocomplete and stuff like that on like method names and?
Has something, but not very good. I rarely use it. It has better search and replace than site, so I use it. Oh
yeah.
Which operating systems are you using?
Well, at work, and pretty much everywhere. Oh yeah. Well, at work I use Windows XP, and then at home I'm trying to use Ubuntu as much as I possibly can, and that's why. I've been trying to try out Firewater because that runs on Linux, so I've been really sort of interested in that. I'm very sort of interested in open source software more and more every day, so I'm really interested in running Ubuntu and trying to get rid of the reliance on Windows and that sort of thing. So, but at work, yeah, Windows XP.
I have Ubuntu in virtual machine in VMware server. I used to play with it, some test tool in Erlang, cannot remember the name just now,
Sunk
or something like that, so it runs only on the on Debian distro or something, so I use the Ubuntu because it's made on Debian, right?
Yeah, it is, yeah, that's right, so I've got like, just at home now, I've got a little netbook, like it's called an EEPC, you've probably seen them on the internet, and I've got it's like a little 9-inch machine, like 9-inch laptop, and I've got Ubuntu running on that, and it runs really, really well. So yeah, I really like that.
Can you work on such small machine? Is it just for browsing?
It's just really for browsing. It would be really hard to work on a machine like that. But yeah, it's just for browsing and sort of traveling around with and that sort of thing. So yeah, you can still run scripts on it. Like, but yeah, it's just mainly for browsing.
You've been talking about what have you been using Water for? You said build verification tests, right?
Yeah, well that's been the main thing that I've done with it. And basically that's turned into like a very large, the place where I actually implemented an entire Water framework, it turned in, the build verification test turned into like a very large suite of regression tests. And so we're talking like thousands of test cases and across an entire financial management system. And this sort of system is managing a few $100 million in funds, so it was important to get sort of accuracy across the entire system. So, yeah, I implemented Water there as a framework and developed a regression test suite there.
What do you like about Water?
Well, I actually wrote I've got a blog called Watermelon, and I actually wrote a whole blog post on that exact topic. But just to sort of like recap some of the main points, the first thing that it's free, open as in open source and free as in freedom, and also very lightweight. It's very easy to install and particularly if you've got a bank of test machines, you know, it's very easy to install. It's not like a very heavy sort of heavy installation process. Also that it's very flexible, it's not locked in, it's not a vendor script, as Brett calls it. It uses Ruby, it's a great language, it's open source, it's and there's huge potential for, you know, to be able to develop anything you want. So
you like it a lot, I guess.
Yeah, I guess that's a pretty big list, but yeah, there's a lot of good things about it. The main thing is that it's definitely not proprietary, and so that's what I really like about it. You have flexibility because it's not proprietary. You have a lot of flexibility to do what you need to do. So,
and it's written in Ruby.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So. Is there anything you don't like about Water?
Well, there's a couple of things. There's not much to start with, but there are a couple of things. I think the name, it's way too late to change the name, but like it's hard to. But I've had managers call it Wattier or Waiter, all sorts of things, and so because it's not spelt like water, people don't really call it water, but that's all right. I guess the more it becomes popular, the more people know what it's actually, how you actually pronounce it. And the other thing is just at the moment, well, sort of besides the fire water stuff, like it's really an IE Windows pro, library, and I understand how that sort of came about, and it was developed to, you know, fit a purpose, fit a need, and but, you know, potentially in the future it would be good to see it be, and there's a lot of work being done to make it so it can be cross-platform, so you can run it on Linux, you can run it on Mac, you can run it on Windows, so I think that'll make it a lot better.
Yeah, you can already run it on different OSs and browsers, but it would be good if there was one code base that runs them all.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you used other Ruby frameworks with water tests?
With water? Yeah, or actually used the framework WET, Water Extension Toolkit. I actually used that quite a lot, actually, on a project. And the reason was that I needed to implement something really, really quickly there, and it needed to be Excel-based, so I actually used that primarily for its Excel handling capabilities. It's got quite a few Excel capabilities. It's sort of, I guess, merged off, or not merged, but diverged off the main sort of water path, so I don't use that anymore, but certainly I have used that in the past.
Did you use a test unit, RSpec?
I actually haven't in sort of commercial use. I've only ever sort of developed my own framework that's sort of just basically data driven. So it just reads Excel lines, goes and runs tests, and then sort of reports back the results to Excel. So I haven't actually used those in a commercial sense or in a practical sense. And that's because the places I've been working, they haven't really, the testing that's been done hasn't really been a development-focused testing. It's been very much about focused on testing the business. And to me, those sort of frameworks, they're really good for people who are sort of really, really involved in the development. But I've had to create frameworks that inputs being able to provided by testers, by BAs, by business people, and the way that I've done that's through Excel sheets, and so that's what I've had to do.
Did you take a look at Rasta? It also handles Excel tables.
Yeah, at the time, Rasta didn't exist because Rasta's only just come out recently, and when Rasta came out, I've been really keen to have a look at it, but a lot of the time that I spend on water is in my own time at home. I don't have a copy of Microsoft Excel. I don't sort of, as I said before, I'm a believer in open source software. I don't believe that you should go and pay for something when you can go and get a perfectly capable alternative, which is OpenOffice. So I don't have Excel, so therefore I can't really play around with Rasta. I haven't really had a play around with it at all, and I don't have a real need at the moment to run things from Excel.
I'm not sure, but I think Rust also supports OpenOffice. I'm not sure, but if you're interested, take a look at their page. Somebody was talking something about it, but I said I've never used it, so I'm not sure.
When I saw it, the only thing that I saw was that it needed Excel. I could be wrong, but I thought it needed Excel. But I'll have another look at it.
I'll also take a look after the show. Is there anything you'd like to see in the future versions of Water? Anyway, I think everybody said that they would like Water and Firewater merging, but that's happening already. So anything else?
Yeah, I'd certainly like to see a little bit of guidance around a framework about how to actually implement water. I know you talked about RSpec and that sort of thing, but in terms of implementing water in a place that might not be as sort of development focused as those sort of frameworks, so something that might use Excel or might use, I don't know, Google Docs or a wiki or something like that. So I'd like to see what sort of the water community comes up with and what Brett comes up with in terms of that.
Was it you that created a wiki-driven framework?
Yeah, I did. I put it on my blog. I did just sort of like a proof of concept sort of thing, like to say this is what you can do. I believe that Brett made a comment and called it barbaric, which was quite funny, but it was sort of just a proof of concept, and certainly doesn't have sort of functionality of other frameworks, but it was purely a concept.
Looked interesting. Some people might like, yeah, sorry, this noise looked interesting. Some people might use it, some not. It depends on the taste.
I'd be very keen to have a look at developing a framework that was based on something like Google Docs. I mean, because that's all in a browser, and so basically you can run it across any operating system very easily, and it also has all the sort of Excel functionality, such as formulas and being able to do links between cells and that sort of thing. So I'd be really keen to have a look at that. It's just one of those things that like I really, really want to do, but I just have to get around to doing it.
Also, I think Rasta is planning to support Google Docs soon. So I think they're not supporting it now, but I know there is a ticket and they said they'll take a look and implement it when appropriate.
So, yeah, that'd be really good. That'd be really good to see.
And also Brett said after 5 water-water merge, he'll be working on a water framework. So that could be interesting too.
Yeah, whether or not that's sort of something that's freely available or whether it's like a sort of like purchase sort of thing through Watercraft would be interesting to see as well.
Have you used other flavors of water? You said you played with Firewater. Have you used Safari Water or implementation in other languages?
Yeah, as I said, I've been playing around with Firewater on Ubuntu. That works really well. I haven't played with Safari Water. I don't have a Mac. I don't like Macs at all. I think they're dependent on hardware, and I don't like that. So, at the moment, it's just been Water and Firewater for me.
You said you've used a lot of tools, and you're using them right now. What tools have you been using, open and closed source? Tools for testing.
Okay. For testing, basically I use QuickTest Professional at the moment to do all our testing, all our sort of functional regression testing and our build verification testing. As I mentioned before, we've got about 20 different applications and we've got about 6 or 7 different architectures and languages, like GUI sort of elements that we have to do. It's very hard to find a testing tool that supports all those different interfaces. For example, Power Builder. We've got legacy applications that have been written in Power Builder, and it's very, very hard to find a tool that supports that interface. We've had to implement QuickTest Pro, and it's sort of driven through a data-driven, keyword-driven framework.
Would you compare some of the tools that you've used with Water?
Yes. I certainly think that Water is very, very comparable or very just as good as a proprietary tool. It is primarily focused on testing web applications. So if I, in my job at the moment, if we purely had web applications, I wouldn't use anything else but Water. Unfortunately, The fact is that we've got about 30 years of IT systems sitting there, and in those 30 years they've been through lots of different technologies, and we've still got legacy systems running. We've got systems running on the AS400. So there's all these different systems that we need to test, and therefore we can't use something like Water. Water's definitely, from a purely web application, if I was working at a startup that was doing some web development, I definitely wouldn't use anything else but Water.
Do other people use your Water code?
Well, yes. Well, what I talked before about, we're actually implemented an entire Water framework for an internal intranet application. Since left that job, and it continues to run because I still have lunch with the people who work there. They've got about 3 people who develop 3/4 scripts full time. They've got about 8 testers who actually develop input, you know, data sheet input files for the framework. So they still, two and a half years later, they still use it every day full time to run all the tests. It saves them a lot of time, and they end up doing a lot of testing that they couldn't have done before. So that's the main benefit there.
Have you built any tools of your own? Tools don't need to be open source or anything, but have you built anything that helps you test?
Well, yeah, I guess tools like a very sort of loose term, but I've developed lots of scripts and lots of libraries and lots of different things in Water, and they've just mainly been created to actually, you know, suit a purpose. Where I've been able to play with Water in my own time at home, I've sort of created my blog, and I've tried to put on different examples about how you do different things. So the examples such as running tests from a wiki, or running a website monitoring script, or creating Jira users, things like that, I try and put on the blog so that other people can have a look at them and get ideas from those.
Do you know how many tests, lines of code you have?
Lines of code, like in libraries or
tests?
Actual tests.
Yes.
That I'd say on the main Water project that I worked on, there would be thousands of test cases. So each test case was defined as a row in Excel, and there were like probably 20 Excel sheets, and they would have had a thousand lines. So, I'd say 20,000 off the top of my head, like something like 20,000 test cases. So it was quite a lot.
Quite a lot, yeah. How long does it take for all tests to run?
Well, the main test that I timed on that project, we didn't obviously run those 20,000 all at once. The main test that I timed was a build verification test. And I think it started out at about 10 to 15 minutes. I think when I left, it was sitting around 30 minutes, 40 minutes. And I think that was about the maximum we actually wanted to do, just so that you could get feedback. We're doing nightly builds. So every night there was a new build, and we'd run the Water test straight away across the build verification test across the entire system. Take about 30 or 40 minutes, and then you'd have feedback about the entire thing. So that was our sort of aim there.
Recently, you became a Water Wiki Master. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Okay, well, as probably most people know, I'm a really big Wiki fan. I really think they're good things. I've used in quite a number of different jobs. I've used Confluence, which happens to be the tool that Water uses. I've used quite a few different wikis. It's definitely my favorite hands down out of all the wiki software that you can get. So I've Brett recently and the Water group recently named me the Wiki Master. So that means sort of answering questions about where content fits and sort of having some ideas about how the wiki is going to be organized.
We have a question from Water General, from Tiffany Fodder. She's asking, should we continue just posting things to the wiki with our best guess of where and how, or would you prefer that people ask you before where to put?
I'd definitely say continue to post information on the wiki, because that's the whole point, just continue to put things on there. The thing about a wiki is it's very dynamic, and you can easily go and change it and move things around or update things. So, yeah, continually encourage people to continually put information on there. In saying that, we probably need to encourage people to also be what are known as wiki gnomes, and they're people that do wiki gardening and go through and clean up things. So if you have some spare time, you can just browse through the wiki, and if you see something that might be out of date or could be written a little bit better, you just go and edit it and update it. So yeah, I'm encouraging other people in the Water community to become a wiki gnome and do some wiki gardening.
So your answer is do your best and you'll take a look later yes. and fix something if it's broken.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Broken or misplaced.
Misplaced or needs more polishing. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. I think we've gone through all the questions I've got for you today. Do you have any funny, interesting bug testing or bug hunt story you'd like to share with us?
Probably not that I could probably publicly say. I wouldn't want to share too many sort of things that might come back on me. But I did want to say to sort of use this as an opportunity to encourage people to sort of become involved with the water project. And so if you've used water for a while, or if you're looking at using water, to sort of become involved. So write a blog or go into the wiki. And as I said, you can edit an article or you can put some more information on there or you can get involved in the podcast. So, I mean, water's only going to get better the more we get involved and more people contribute. So that's a really great thing about having an open source testing tool, is that this really encourages people to actually contribute, and that'll ultimately make the tool really, really excellent.
Before we started recording, we also talked about a conference. You said you'd like to do something like a web conference, right?
Yeah, I had an idea just before. I was thinking that we've got a lot of people involved in water and a lot of great minds and a lot of great interesting thoughts. I was thinking, especially with Brett being involved, as probably most people know, he's a very well-respected practitioner in the testing sort of business. So I was thinking it would be good to establish some sort of, or you know, organize some sort of conference, like in a bar camp style. I'm not sure if people know about bar camp, but that sort of thing. But the one sort of limitation, I guess, is that we've got people from all over the world, such as yourself and at one end of the world, and then you've got me, and then you've got a lot of people in the US, and then you've got people like Angrez in India. So if we did decide to do some sort of conference, I guess it's using the web or having it virtual would be the way to go.
We'll see how it goes. Maybe someday we'll meet somewhere.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm going to the US next year for 3 weeks for a holiday for the first time, so that should be good.
What do you like to do when you're not testing?
When I'm not testing, I like blogging. That's like my sort of thing. I've got a couple of blogs that I write. I've got Watermelon, as I've told you, and I've got my own. I've got a sort of like creative sort of blog that I write about just sort of creative things, photography, or just sort of day-to-day things. So I like that. I like music, like going and attending concerts and that sort of thing. And I like traveling and doing that and hanging out with my wife, so.
A fulfilled life.
Cool. Yeah, try and keep busy and while I'm young and stuff, so that's good.
Do you listen to podcasts?
Yeah, I listen to, I mainly watch video podcasts, actually. I don't watch TV. So, but it's really good here. We've got a lot of, there's a lot of interesting sort of video podcasts that you can get here that I watch. So I sort of mainly use that because then I can watch a video podcast whenever I want, whereas if with TV you have to sit down at a specified time and watch something.
Where can people find you besides the wiki and Water General? You said that you had a website, like a blog?
I do, yeah. I have a blog website which is called Watermelon. So you can just Google Watermelon, or you can type in watermelon.wordpress.com. I'm also on LinkedIn, so you can have a look on LinkedIn. I've created a LinkedIn water group, so if you use LinkedIn and you haven't joined the LinkedIn water group, I encourage you to do that just so you can display to the world that you use water and also see other people that use water. And I also am on the mailing list, the Water General mailing list, so
And you have a Twitter account.
Yeah, I have a Twitter account. It's Alistair Scott, one word. So I recently set that up. So I just sort of, whenever I come across something cool and I don't want to write a whole blog post about it, I'm just going to put it on there.
You've already said your closing thought when you thought we are done with the podcast. Anything you'd like to say for the real end of the show?
Well, I'd want to say thank you to you for all your hard work with the podcast. I think it's really good. As I said before, I think Water's all about the community, and I think setting up a podcast is something that's really cool. I haven't seen any other testing tool actually sort of go and set up their own podcast, so I think it's a very good thing, and I really strongly encourage people to sort of get involved, write a blog, do something about Water, and just share all the knowledge that you have.
Thank you for the kind words, and I would really like to thank you for all the work at Wiki. I was just looking at the water.com page at the Confluence, and it looks just great. And thank you a lot for doing it.
No worries at all.
Thanks for listening to the Water Podcast. If you have a comment, leave it at waterpodcast.com. My site is jelkofilipin.com. Nice people from Watercraft are paying for the hosting, so I don't have to. Visit them at www.watercraft.com. The podcast is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 Creation License. All links are in episode show notes.
Thanks to Tiffany Fodor for editing the podcast, and thanks to Pistos from blog.purepistos.net for the music.